Welcome everyone to the Will Smith podcast with Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince fans from around the world. We actually started this podcast like 2005 before every single person had their own podcast, so we were ahead of our time. But Will Smith hasn't released any new music for 20 years, so we haven't really been doing the podcast. But Will's brand new album, based on a true story, just got released, so we thought we'd come back together and talk about the album and give our thoughts. So yeah, I might just go around to everyone, but Kev, your first impressions of the album.
I'm really bad for first impressions. I like to digest an album before I really judge it. So I've been sort of binge listening the last couple of days. But yeah, I'm happy. Like it's with all the singles dropping beforehand, I was a little bit apprehensive because of how it was all going to come together. But yeah, I think it's a good album. We'll talk about the beats later that in places I think the weaker parts of it, but yeah, man, I like it. It's still surreal that there's a new Will Smith album. I know we kind of knew it's been coming a little while, but we've been fed little things for years, and it's finally happened. So here we are.
Yeah, I
Still
mean, basically,
getting used to the idea,
in the last 20 years, there's been a new Will Smith album coming for many times, and
Yeah, definitely.
it hasn't happened. Buddy, what do you
Nah.
think of the new album so
Yeah,
far?
I really like it. It surpassed my expectations. When I saw like the track list on Spotify, I was like, ah, interlude, interlude, interlude. Heard those four, I was like, oh man. So that's why I avoided Bulletproof when he was putting out, because I wanted at least four to listen to. But yeah, I've only actually listened to it once because the family arrived the same day and that when it came out. So I've not had no chance to kind of just go and listen to it. It's been out. But yeah, it was a lot better than I kind of expected it to be in a good way. I was happy about that. Because I thought if the other four songs he released were just a bit meh, it might not get the recognition it needs. But no, I'm really happy with it. I like it.
Awesome. And Julie, what do you think?
Yeah, pleasantly surprised as well. So obviously you think normally when you've got had so many singles, they release the best singles from the album, don't you? So I'm thinking, right, we've had like the best stuff. Yeah, all the other things just not as good. But actually it's some of the unreleased tracks are favorite tracks, I think, because yeah, it just sort of fits together and I think there's only one track on it really. I'm just enjoying the rest of it overall.
Yeah, I feel like it's quite a short album and it's 36 minutes and we've probably heard 50 to 60% of it already. But what I like about it as an album is that when you hear it all together, it's like a cohesive piece. You can kind of like listen from start to finish and you really enjoy it as listening it to as an album instead of just the tracks that we've heard here and
And
there.
that's the thing now, like the way stuff's released now, it's rare you're going to get the one or two singles and then an album drop. It's we're from a generation who appreciates an album as a piece of work, as a piece of art, and that's kind of lost a lot now. So like you say, it's good to have an album that's for the most part structured in a good order and makes sense in the way it's sort of laid out. So
Yeah, it seems to be a common thing now with the old school artists coming back. Like Exhibit's done the same apparently for his new album. It's like you have to listen in order. Eminem, someone was the same. You've got to listen in order. I guess Will's done the same. It seems to be like a good trend to have because it's better to listen to as well, I think. Rather than skipping through like, oh, what's good, what's not. It's nice to listen through it. It makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, and you can see, well, basically the theme of the album is sort of the space Will's been in after like the Oscar slap and all that kind of stuff, and just the world against him and negativity. So the album kind of makes sense in that time. The other interesting thing is like we're not getting one album, like he's literally releasing the second album at the end of June and a third album at the end of the year. So it'll be interesting to see like what I feel like is this first album was kind of like maybe recorded most of it 3 years ago, and then he's recorded like the second album in maybe last year, and he's recording the third album now. So
It'd
there's
be
going to be a bit of progression.
and I think that's why like some of the reviews have come out saying that this is just Will just offloading the last few years and stuff. I don't think necessarily everyone's realised there is more to come, so in a way, it's kind of like this is his release album, you know, letting out everything he needs to do. And then he can maybe do his fun album after that or whatever, or his old school album. So it'd be interesting to see where he goes after this one.
Mm. Yeah, it feels like an intro album in a way. Like, it could be like he's putting it out, you know, feeling the water nowadays. The reception he's got obviously is better than you might have even expected, considering everything. So he might be like more energized to do more on the next one and the third.
Yeah, I hope so.
So it's a good start, I think.
Yeah, it's not like the album I want or what I want him to do or what a lot of old fans would want. Yeah.
It's because you're wearing your Code Red hoodie, man. Your Code Red tinted glasses, you know.
but you know, like, Will's in his 50s now. Like, you can't expect him, like, Big Willie style kind of made sense for 1997, where Will's on top of the entertainment landscape and has the number one movies and, like, he's just succeeding everywhere. Like, the album kind of makes sense in that time frame. And so it wouldn't make sense for him to do, like, exactly the same now. Like, the album totally makes sense for the last few years to me.
Mm. Definitely.
Yeah, because he can't really come out with the whole flashy, like, I'm so amazing, I've got loads of money, look how cool I am. Like, I don't think he can say that as much. I mean, he still is doing it a little bit.
That can come on the next album, the braggadocious stuff, you know.
I think now it's to be like, look, this is what's happened, this is what I think. So I think it's a perfect way to, like, come back and just, yeah, because everyone wants to hear about that album.
Yeah.
And that's what the haters are looking at. So I think it's, like, perfect way to come back. And then, like you say, I'm hoping the next one is, like, just a more fun thing or moving on from that. Like, we want to hear this album, and then let's move on from it now and do something else.
Mm. Yeah, so Will said, like, the second album's a lot more positive. So I feel like, this first album was kind of the first reaction to everything that happened. And I think, yeah, once he's got past that, it'll be different, the second and third album.
Yeah, I reckon Jeff will be a lot more involved in the next one. Just judging by the intro and, like, the start of the second track where he mentions, like, him and, Jordan and Scotty or whatever. Yeah. I reckon Jeff will definitely have more of his tracks on there, more of them collabing again. I'd be surprised if he didn't. I'd be really surprised if he didn't. Just dropped him completely. Just be really weird.
The thing I really miss on the new album is there's no scratching at all. Like, there's no Jeff's scratches.
Not.
It's not very sort of hip-hop. It's very sort of modern.
Yeah.
It's kind of modern music. Like, if you listen to Jaden or Willow's stuff, it's kind of in that sort of same sound.
Was it all produced?
I'm not sure. Yeah, there's, I think, one guy produced about 8 tracks. If you check the credits.
Because I see most of them just say Omar, and there's some other random people, I'm guessing, collabing with it.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, the interesting thing for Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince fans is, like, Omar is O Money. He's in the Too Damn Hype crew. He was Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince's dancer. And he's pretty much been doing Will's music since Men in Black. Like, he did Men in Black, Wild Wild West. He executive produced Lost and Found. And then he's just been working on Willow and Jaden's albums up to this point. And now he's finally got to do this Will Smith album. And I trust Omar. Like Lost and Found was, like, a great hip-hop album. And you can see, like, the concept and the flow of the album. And he puts together, like, good albums, so... And Omar doesn't. He's not, like, doing any beats or anything, but he's the one who's selecting the producers and
and he's
Will,
like you say,
forming an album. Yeah,
and he's one of Will's sort of OGs, so to speak. So it's good to have him around.
Yeah,
keep him grounded, you know.
Yeah.
So we might just go, like, track by track and get everyone's opinions, but the barbershop intro. What do you think of that, Kev?
I mean, it's great. It's, I mean, the whole album kind of is like a redemption almost album, but that first track just, it's like, we've been waiting to hear from Will, as Will, sort of, for so long, and he's just thrown it all out on that track in a comedy way, but also, he's obviously been hearing what everyone's been saying, and he's addressing it in the best way Will can, and that's through humour. And using Jeff as well, which always helps. So, you know, that's kind of cool.
I was shocked by this because I thought it was just going to be like an intro, like them just talking.
Yeah,
intro,
yeah.
But it kind of reminds me of, if we go way back to like Men of Your Dreams, like on Island.
Jeff's rhyming, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's technically
like
Jeff rapping,
going
you
back
know?
And forth, like them having this conversation.
Yeah,
so like and Will's like, haters and Jeff going back and forth.
There's a lot of that "and in this corner" style in there, you know, with the whole
the
"I think I can beat Mike Tyson" and the reverent sort of old man narratives. Yeah. So it is kind of a throwback for us old school fans.
Jillie, what do you think of the intro?
Yeah, so I love it. So, yeah, it's great that he's doing comedy in it. And he's using his skills as an actor, basically, doing all the different voices. I'm almost struggling to figure out, like, wait, is that what Will? Almost, because, like, his voices are so good in it. And, yeah, it's basically like a comment section, because I stupidly read the comments on his Instagram, and they're awful. And people are all saying the same slap joke or the same tangle joke. So I just like that he's making fun of those people, basically. So it is just like he's read them, like you say. It's just like he does. So
it's funny, like some of the reviews like that I've read of the album, they're basically saying the same things that he's called out in the intro. And it's like, like people are so stupid, like get over it. Like it's,
he's making fun of you.
Buddy, what are you? I know you've only listened to it once, but Jeff.
Yeah, it is my favorite track of the album. I think obviously because Jeff's on it, the beat as well. I just really like it.
It's actually one of the best beats, I think.
Yeah, it was really good. It reminded me of Coming to America with the barbers in the barbershop, you know, and they're just chatting.
That's what Will was inspired by. So it's pretty much like Coming to America barbershop.
Yeah, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, it literally reminds me of that Eddie Murphy film, Coming to America. And obviously, I think it was Julie who said it was the I Think I Can Beat Mike Tyson, or someone said it. But just that intro bit. It was a great start to the album. It was like, okay, this should be good now. Hopefully it doesn't go downhill from here, which it didn't. So,
You looking track. For me? I might go to you, Julie. What do you think of that second track?
Yeah, so I think a lot of guys have said that's their favorite, so it's kind of a middle road one for me, so I'm enjoying it. Like, as I say, I like pretty much all the tracks apart from maybe one, so yeah, I like it. But it's not as good as some of the others that are coming later, but it's still a great track.
I love you looking for me, possibly, like, it's right up there as one of my favorites, because the thing that's interesting about it is Will starts with like a real old school like drum beat. And he starts with, like, the old-school rhyming, and then he's like, me and Jeff are, like, Jordan and Scotty, like, which is a great line. And then it switches, so it switches to a new track. And Will was saying, like, this track was kind of based on everyone after the slap being like, where's Will Smith? He's gone underground. Like, you know, what's happened to him? And this is kind of, like, his response. He's like, you're looking for me? Like, you know, I'm on your Instagram, I'm still doing movies, I'm still doing music, like, I'm right here. And so, just like, as a concept and as a track, I think it's awesome. I love that track. What do you think, Kev?
Yeah, it's really good, like, lyrically, and his flow's great. My only downside of it is I find the sort of trappy sort of beat, like, during the songs a little bit weak. But, you know, I guess it's kind of minimalist in a way, but it's yeah, it's not one of my favourite beats, but as far as the... Because his delivery is so... Not angry, but, you know, forceful, powerful sort of delivery. I felt like the beat could have been a bit bassier and a bit more to it, but that's just me, so... But I like the track, yeah.
That's the modern rap music.
Yeah, like I'm not modern, so...
Trap beats and really fast rhyme scheme. Yeah. Like, it is what it is. I think we'll skip the interludes there. Well, actually, let's talk about the Reverend interludes. I find it funny because Will did this character in And In This Corner, which is, oh God, how long ago is that? 36 years ago. And so he was like 20 doing this old Reverend character, and it sounded really funny. But I find it funny because he's now like 56 doing like a 60-year-old Reverend. I'm like, your voice doesn't sound that much different. Like, yeah, make it older, but it's kind of similar to your old voice now. But what do you make of the Reverend interludes just as a whole, maybe?
I mean, they have... Sorry, Julie, you go.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, they just, like, piece the album together, like you say. When you listen to it as a whole, it just works well and, like, introduces each track in a great way. So I'm not skipping them as of yet. I think maybe in the future I might be a bit of a skip, but at the moment I'm still listening to them all as, like, a whole, just for it to fit it all together. But...
The good thing is they're short enough that you can just be like, oh yeah, okay, that's going to play, and then we'll go into the next song.
It's like the new Keith Be Real interludes, aren't they, really?
Yeah, they are. Rave in the Wasteland. A lot of people are saying this is their favourite track, which is interesting to me, because like, when I heard it, I was like, that's a really like modern, sort of trappy kind of like...
That's why, isn't it? That's why now.
Yeah.
That's people... It reminds me...
like that kind of music.
Yeah.
I think I sort of heard the title and I was like, that's really odd, like Rave in the Wasteland, that's not going to be a good song, I don't think I'm going to like this, and like the beat started and I was like, oh my god, that beat is so crazy, and then just when it came on his flow, I was like, this is so different from anything he's done, and obviously what he's done, it was like, I don't know, there's something about the beat in it, and it is probably one of my favorites. Like, you need to listen to it more, because obviously you all listen to so much now. This is like new and fresh and exciting. So yeah, but honestly, it's because it was such a shock. Like, what is it? Is it Stink Face you do? I was like doing that, listening to it. Like, I love this.
Yeah, it's the beat's almost a bit tribal, isn't it? It's kind of I like it because it's different, basically.
Yeah,
you know, we started this album very. Everything's quite different so far, and that's yeah, you can't say Will's not mixing it up a little bit.
No, it really suits him, I think, that track as well, weirdly. Same as like Julie says, I didn't know what that was going to be, the weird title. And I heard it, I thought, oh, it sounds like Black Skinhead from Kanye West. And I was like, okay, this could be interesting. Like, this is what came to my mind. I heard it, I was like, dun, dun, dun. Like, I was like, okay. But yeah, it just worked well, I think.
The next track, I think, I'm trying to decide which is my favourite, but I think this is the... I hope Will does a really good music video for Bulletproof, because I think this is the kind of anthem that could like make this album bigger if people get to hear this song. I really like Bulletproof. It's got... like, the thematics of it is kind of like in the Wild West kind of thing. So you could do a really cool video with it. The guy singing on it like just brings a lot of emotion to it. Jack Ross, so yeah, and Will's lyrics I just love on this track. So Bulletproof is one of the songs we'd heard a little bit before, but once I heard the album version, I was like, ah, oh, I love this song. So definitely one of my faves.
Yeah, I like the beat on this. The beat on that one's really good.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites, and it's one that I think I'll, when I've stopped listening to the album as a full piece, it'll be one I think I'll stick on the Spotify favourites and stuff. You know, it's definitely a strong song. So, yeah, enjoying that one.
Julie, anything on Bulletproof?
Yeah, just this probably is one of my favourites again. So I think we heard it like kind of just before, wouldn't we? So it's still like quite fresh and things, but as you say, yeah, the lyrics are great in it. It's a great gym track, I've discovered, because I've been obviously listening to the album in the gym, so it's great to like, you're bulletproof and stuff. It's lyrics are great, as you say, the singer's great in it. Yeah, it's one of my top song songs, I think.
Yeah,
the next track is Hard Times, which is kind of like a more like a mellow R&B track. I like it, and as part of like the album, it flows. But there's a couple of tracks like Hard Times and Make It Look Easy where you just don't get like three rap verses from Will like you would on Big Willie style. It's like you get a bit of a rap, and it's mainly the chorus and the music,
instrumental.
So he doesn't say a lot on it, but it's got a, you know, it's again, it's got a certain theme, and it's. It sounds good, so...
Yeah, it is more what you'd call an old-school Will beat and track, you know, obviously without the excessive rhyming, but, I like it because it is more of a throwback, and it sort of brings the album down a little bit because it's been a bit full-on, you know, to be able to do that for 35 minutes would be a bit hardcore, so it's nice to break it down a little bit at that point.
I've got to say, the flow of the album, the way they've done the tracks is kind of perfect. Like, that's, you're exactly right. Like, you've just had like high energy stuff, so just to bring it down with something a bit more mellow, I think works really well at that spot in the album.
Yeah, like I think the same as you, Tim. So I'm like a big R&B fan. So like the singer in it, I can't remember her name, sorry. But yeah, she's great in it. Love the track. But like you say, I just want a little bit more from Will. Even just like another verse from him would have been great. Because, you know, the track kind of finishes off just with the same chorus repeating. So that's the only downside. But it's, again, probably one of my favourites on there, I think. Because, yeah, it's just a great song.
Beautiful Scars. It's one of those ones where we heard it a lot before the album, so now I've got it in the album, I'm not sure where I kind of place it. I do find, like, Sean's verse is really good. Like, the more I listen to his verse, it's pretty clever. What do you guys think of Beautiful Scars?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I do like it. Yeah, like you say, the rapping, like his verse is solid. And again, he's mixing up the flow style during it. I find the chorus a little bit jarring at first, to be honest. It's grown on me, but because it's kind of doesn't stick with that flow, it kind of breaks down for the chorus each time. Yeah, a bit unconventional, but yeah, it's growing on me. It took a little while, but it's growing on me, this one.
And it's that heavily auto-tuned chorus, which I did hate, but yeah, that is what it is.
I feel like it'll just be on a movie soundtrack one day, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Tantrum? So Tantrum, like, when Will dropped Tantrum, like, it came out and they had the animated video and I was like, yeah, it's like, okay, or whatever. But I've found, because I'm listening to the album a lot, as soon as Tantrum comes on, I'm like, oh, I really like this. Because Tantrum, to me, is like his one track on this album, which is really hip-hop. Like, really just rapping back and forth and, like, really high lyrical skill and amazing, like, verses. And, like, that's the big hip-hop track. And I think Joyner Lucas is awesome. Like, if you like the Will remix that Will did, like, it's in line with that. So is in the album, like, that's the track I really like. And I hope in the other two albums we get more tracks like this where he actually is just... Will's just spitting. Like, he's just spitting ridiculous lines. Yeah.
Will getting with Joyner Lucas in the last few years is I think was a bit of a catalyst for him to get to where he is now, you know, wanting to record and stuff. Yeah, the flow in it's amazing. And like you say, with the back and forth, you don't see that enough now in hip-hop, especially with guests, you know, people guessing on other people's songs. It normally is just like a guest verse here and there, but Will and Joyner have definitely been working together, you can see, to be able to put the track list together. Plus the beat is it's pretty dark, isn't it? You know, I like it. It's kind of a bit of a dirty one, and it's it's a good one. I like it.
What do you think about
Tantrum,
Julie?
Right, it's hard to judge ones like these because, like, we've kind of been drip-fed a lot of these songs for quite a while. So this song's been out for ages, and I think I've just listened to it a lot. So I don't enjoy this one as much as the rest of the album, whether it's just because I've overplayed it and things, but I do think the best part of it's, like you said, that back and forth between them is probably the best part of it. It's just really enjoyable to listen to that. So, yeah, it is a good song, but I just need to listen to the rest of album as a whole to kind of like judge the older songs versus the new songs, because yeah, they've been out for months now.
this is probably the most controversial song of the album. I've seen some reviews say like it's their favorite. I don't know, and then a lot of people like me, I think it just shouldn't be on the album. Like, it's I don't have a problem with Will doing that style of music or doing something different, but it's so jarring on the album. Like, it just, you go from like Tantrum to First Love, and I'm just like, what is going on here at this point with like this guitar? And so, like, First Love, I just don't like.
Even, we're just going to say that. No, I mean, even as a song, you say it's like jarring in the album, even as a song, it's jarring because it's like this slow, Spanish guitar thing, and then all of a sudden he's rapping fast again. It's like, you don't need to do that on this song, man. Just chill. Chill the hell down. If you're going to put a song out like this, chase him forever it, you know, just slow it down. And, you know,
chase him forever it.
It's that Spanish rock.
Least favourite of the album. Like, he obviously released it not that long ago, and that's a bit boring. like, oh god, if this is one of the best songs from the album, not either. I don't like the female vocalist that much. Will's flow's not great on it. And yeah, like you say, it just doesn't seem to fit on there like everything else. It's yeah. I've skipped it a couple of times, I'll admit, when I've been listening to it all the way through. It yeah. just doesn't
Yeah, that's fit. The one song I skip. Like yeah.
I like the concept of it, like the whole first love thing and the feelings and all that. I like that, you know, because I'm an emo kid, really. But you know, it just doesn't quite hit for me. It just doesn't work really for me. But
And the thing is, like Tantrum, I really like the concept of Tantrum and like what they're talking about, and they say a lot about that. But in First Love, the style that Will writes, he's doing two or three words, and it just, even his explanation of first love, it doesn't, like, I don't feel anything when he's talking about it, because he's basically saying three words for every idea, so I'm like, I can't even feel what you're talking about. Like, yeah, if you compare something like First Love to Ain't No Place Like Home, where he's like telling this story about going home during the holidays and get your grandmother's cooking, and like you feel it, like you feel what he's talking about, like in summertime. Whereas, like, he's got this concept, first love, but I don't feel anything about a first love or anything when I listen to the track. It just doesn't hit me in any way.
No.
Make It Look Easy. I've seen some people say this is their favorite track. It's one of those tracks that I like when I listen to the album, and it's cool, but I feel like Will could have had more verses or said more on the track.
It's one of the ones that's probably grown on me the most quite quickly. Again, because it's kind of sort of classic kind of a Will song more so. But again, like you say, another verse would have been, you know, just better. Because you want more Will on a Will album, basically, don't you?
Yeah, I think this is probably one of my favourites as well. Like you said, it grew on me a lot. Because the first time you listen to it, like, oh, this is, like, nice. And then the more you listen, the more, like, no, this is the one I'm going to keep going back to.
It's catchy.
Like, oh, what's the listen to? I'll put that one on. Like, yeah, it's really catchy. Like we said, like, after I listened to it, it's stuck in my head after I listened to the album. Yeah, more Will would be great. But it's just, it sounds like it's from Big Willie style, basically. It's just, like, you know, when you're happy and it's sunny, like, put that on. It's great, fun song, basically.
Yeah. I reckon you've got a video for this one as well. I don't know why.
Yeah, he should drop this in the summer, shouldn't he, really?
Yeah, I reckon he'll put it out as a video or some sort before he's going on tour and stuff. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, you can imagine a really good, like, I imagine when he does the tour, he'll have all those big screens and have visuals to match. Yeah. And you could get some really good visuals when he performs that live, for sure. You Can Make It, like, again, like, we heard this probably a year ago, and it's one of those ones where, like, I listened to it when it came out, probably haven't listened to it that much, but then when I listen to the whole album as a whole, when this comes on, I'm like, oh, this really hits, like, it's got a lot of soul and substance to it, and I really enjoy when it comes on. And so, like, that is probably the signature song of the album, really, if you want to know what the album's about. It made sense as a first single. So I really like You Can Make It. I think it's a great track.
I think you've got to be in the mood for it. I'm never really in the mood for that kind of stuff. But obviously when it came out, I played it loads, obviously. But then it's like, on the album, I was like, oh, yeah. It's a good song, obviously. But I have to be in a mood to listen to that kind of stuff.
Well, it's one of those things where I think Will was, that he says a lot in interviews, it's like, you know, I realize that, you know, everyone is going through something. And I'm like, that's not like a great concept to pick up in your 50s. Like, yeah, like, most people know people are going through stuff, like, you know. But I the thing I like about the track is he didn't just make it about himself. Like, he's not just being like, oh, I've been wronged or I'm doing it tough. It's more about, you know, a lot of people are in a certain space, and let's help each other, like, as humans, let's help each other to get out of it. I guess, as you say, like, buddy, like, sometimes you got to be in a certain mood for certain songs. And I would, if I was with Will, I'd argue that a song like Summertime or Getting Jiggy With It can have as big an impact for someone who's going through tough times or going through something really hard as a song like You Can Make It. Sometimes you don't need like to be preached or to be told like that idea, but if Will did something like a Summertime or a Getting Jiggy, like that could totally like get someone out of a mood or make someone happy, and it's just as powerful. Like, you don't have to be literal when you make music to for people in that position.
Yeah, I think this song it made a good single. It doesn't necessarily need to be amongst this album, but it's I still like it. I think it was, you know, in the build-up to this album dropping, I was listening to the sort of four or five tracks that were already available, and I was still enjoying this track. To be fair, I'm not a religious guy myself, so I just ignore that factor part of it, and it's all good.
Yeah, I think I put it in the same category as like sort of, you know, Tell Me Why in the Rain and things, which, yeah, like you say, you've got to be in a certain mood to listen to it, but I do like those sort of deep lyrics of it. Again, I'm not over religious, but I like the festival sound. I think it sounds great, and yeah, it gets different from him, but yeah, it was a perfect first track to come back. Obviously, again, after the slap, it's like the first thing coming back, and yeah, like you say, he's made it about everyone, like we're just having a hard time and like we can get through it, basically. Yeah, it's good. Mm. It's one of my favorites again, but as I say, it's been out for so long that trying to listen to it still amongst everything else is like, it's hard to judge it. Your fresh ones.
Yeah,
and then the final track, Work of Art.
I'm surprised it was on there, to be honest. I didn't think that would.
Yeah.
I thought that was just like a little side kind of project thing, but you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think that would have been on the album. I thought it was like one of those kind of, it was like a single, like Fiesta, just kind of, you know, or Get Lit, just like a little
thingy. Get Lit.
It's all about Get Lit.
I'm waiting for Get Lit to be a B-side on the album
the
release.
Japanese release, Get Lit.
Yeah.
Japanese CD release.
Malaysia CD.
Will had his midlife crisis like back in 2017 when that dropped. Now he's past that. He's you know. Yeah.
Thankfully, EDM like died out, so he wasn't going to get on that part.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, the only time I enjoyed Get Lit was when we saw it live, because we were in the moment, and then after that, it was like, I listened to it once. Yeah, exactly. I listened to it once on when it got released. I was like, nah, I'm good. You know,
it was kicking high, wasn't it, on that side? I was like, wait,
exactly. Oh. It's like new track.
Yeah, like all the auto tune. I was like, oh, not for me. But I do like Fiesta.
Fiesta.
Did
anyone
say that video about Work of Art where they were just making fun of Will's lyrics?
Yeah, I thought that was unnecessary because I don't think they were really understanding what he was doing on that track. They were just kind of just ripping on the words he was using as examples. Yeah, I mean, it's just an easy target thing, wasn't it, really? But...
Oh, is that the comedian?
Yeah.
Andrew Schultz?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a...
Thing is, though, it's one of them things. It was, you know, all publicity is good publicity, isn't it? So.
Yeah, easy target at the time.
But just people found a bit offence in it, because I think he mentions the Bible and the Quran. And
they're taking it too literally. That's the thing.
Literally, and it's like, no, that's not what he's saying. So, like, I don't want to say American religious people just really took offence. Like, you completely missed what he was trying to say there.
Yeah.
Again, it's a very simple concept where he's saying I'm multiple sides of the same thing, and I've just taken as like, how dare you say I'm Jesus?
He mentioned the Bible.
They're gonna burn his records now.
Will's like, I've already been cancelled. Like, whatever.
Yeah. You go find my 9 million copies of Big Willie Style and stick them in a fire pit.
So that's the end of the album. Like, I don't think, like, Will doesn't make bad albums, really. Like, he's done 10 albums. I've always enjoyed it. The only one I didn't really enjoy was Born to Rain, because he had Trey Knox in every track. But, like, he puts a lot of effort into albums, and the way that... And the album tracks are always really good, like, always often better than the singles. And so, like, I really enjoy this album. And it's kind of one of those albums, knowing that the second album's coming in June... I'm like really excited about the second album now. I was like, this is really good, and it's sort of that time period. but I feel like even the next album might be even better because he's kind of going to move away from all that sort of early response to everything that happened.
And
he's in this space of creativity and music. He could do an even better second album, I think.
It'd be interesting to see how far along the second album already is. I'd assume most of it's done, or there's a lot of songs that he's going to then narrow it down to release. And it'd be
like
interesting
he's
in hindsight.
Got the second album done.
June. He's only a couple of months away.
He was probably recording, and he was probably trying to put together one album, and then he realized, oh, I've got like 35 tracks here, and a lot of them are really good. I can't fit it onto one album. So that's why he's like come up with the idea of dropping it as 3 albums.
What I think will be interesting, so I sort of, because we had a lot of singles already released and we knew there were 3 albums coming, I thought maybe we were getting, you know, some of these singles were from each album. So I thought, you know, maybe like Worth the Heart and Make It was on the first one, and then First Love was on the second, but they've all been on this first album. So like how many songs do we get to listen to before the next one comes? Because it's in a few months. Like you say, we've been drip feeding it for ages. Like, are we going to get 2 tracks? Is it going to be half the album again? It's be interesting to see what we get before it.
I don't think he'll drop too much before the album because it kind of takes away from this album, and he's trying to push this album at the moment. Yeah. And there's just no time, is there really? So maybe just
the one single. So when we get that second album, we haven't heard most of it. Maybe drop one single.
Yeah.
And then you guys are going to see him live in August, so you're going to get you're going to have a heap of material.
Yeah.
I reckon because of the tour's coming up, I reckon he must have done the second one already because he's not going to like keep going back to the studio whilst talking anymore.
Doesn't seem feasible
to do that, especially as he's doing like a Europe tour in a way. He's not going to keep flying back to the US, record a quick song, fly back out. It just doesn't make sense logistically. I reckon it's done it. He's done it already. When's this tour begin? July 13th, apparently.
Yeah, so if the second album comes out late June, then he can pretty much put anything from the second album into his tour.
Mm.
I think he's probably done the second album and maybe finishing the third now. He'll probably finish the third before the tour.
Because he said before this, he was working with Jonah Lucas a lot, so it wouldn't surprise me if there was a couple with him, or if they've done a separate project together.
I've done 6 tracks together, I know, so... There could be more in the other albums, or that could be in the EP.
Or they're going to do a collab album separately to a series, maybe they've done something different, don't know.
The big question for me is, the beats, because this is the one thing that annoys me about Lost and Found, annoys me about this album, is like, you know, I think Jazzy Jeff is one of the best producers in hip-hop all time, and like, I can't understand why you wouldn't go to Jeff. Like, if you're not going to Jeff, like, he's Will Smith. Like, he can get Timbaland, he can get whoever he wants. And yet he just works with these producers that no one's even heard of. Like, so I'm like, is Jeff going to be on this second album? I don't think he's doing scratches if they're not on the first album. Is he doing any music? Is he doing any beats? Will the music be different?
We've got to be due some sort of, like, pump me up style track between them. There's got to be some sort of like old school track that they've got to do, even if like Jeff's not producing a load of songs. Just have that one song that's a proper Jazzy Jeff Fresh Prince track. I think that's needed.
Yeah, I'd be amazed if Jeff has not recorded just for himself stuff that he can give to Will.
Jeff's got a catalog of beats, isn't he? I mean, he put out a few years back, he just put out them weekly beat things, didn't he? And even Breaks put a song together using them, didn't he?
I got this ready for you, like I've done 7 or 8 things, this is all for you, like it just surprised, obviously being Jeff's mind.
I feel like if Jeff is on this tour, this huge European tour, and they'll be together, they'll just make music.
Yeah, it can't.
Sure, if they're together, Jeff will have beats, and that could be like a Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince album after this stuff.
I think when you said about Lost and Found's beats, it probably didn't help that shortly after you got hold of them versions that Jeff did with his own beats on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my bad, you know. Tim downloaded from Napster, I think it was. you know, we heard some different versions and they were good, so...
Yeah, I mean, when Jeff does Jeff's remixes of those, well, it's so good.
Because they even got played on Tim, even on the Tim Westwood the show over here. They even played some of the Jeff versions, didn't they? I think so.
Yeah, like this is why I can go back to Code Red all the time because the beats are so good. You got like Pete Rock and Dallas Austin and Teddy Riley, and it's like the best of that era. And so I can just always go back to that album. Even Home Base, like if you want music of that era, like it's so good.
There's a lot of new Jackie style
stuff over and over again, and that's the problem I have with Lost and Found is like the lyrics are awesome, but like the beats weren't up to the level where you could really listen to it a million times like some of the other albums. So that's a big question for me. As you said, Kev, like first impressions, like you get some sense, but as far as like a classic album or album you just listen to over and over again, you kind of need time with it. So
yeah, definitely. We should revisit this when we do this for the second album, when we can throw in a little bit of talk about this first album again.
Just quickly, what do you guys think about the swearing? Because obviously he swears
quite a bit on the album. It doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't bother me. It's a different time now. Let him.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
I fully agree. It sounds more natural.
Yeah, he's not got his clean image anymore, so he may as well do it because people are now. But it was quite funny. I put it on my Alexa, and it put on like the clean version, and it was really funny because instead of the N word, it said ninja, and I was listening like, wait, what is this ninja? Did they just say? I was like, oh my god, I've got a clean version. I'm like, what is this?
That's quite funny.
Yeah, wow. I was more shocked, like, because of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and the Jazzy Jeff Fresh Prince albums when Will starts swearing in movies. I feel like, you know, if he swears in Bad Boys and he swears in his music, I don't have a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Any problem with it.
It's funny listening back to his older stuff and, like, you can tell when he could use it but doesn't. It's kind of obvious when he doesn't say so.
When on Brand New Funk, it's when just, he's like, brought in a cut and I dropped my microphone and said, what the?
Yeah, yeah. You know, when he's back there, he's purposely avoiding it and you could just say anything you wanted there. Chick.
Yeah,
it's what you could say anything you wanted. You know, back then, obviously avoiding that kind of thing, but now it doesn't sound out of place in a weird way. Yeah. Like I don't hear it. I'm like, oh my god, why did he just say that? It just flows naturally. I guess we're so used to it, rap music. I guess right.
Yeah,
just,
that's the thing. 95% of other rap I listen to has got swearing in.
You just use every,
you know, so
yeah. So it's just not surprising. But like you said, was it Jay-Z and Kendrick told him just to say what you feel and all that kind of stuff, so it's more.
I don't think it's excessive or anything, and I feel like he uses it when he's trying to make a point, so
yeah. Oh, what do you guys think of the thing he did with that Twitch guy? I don't do Twitch.
That must be from the second album, right?
Yeah, because I thought
it was crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be on this, and I was like, okay.
Maybe I've not caught up with half the videos that we've been sharing with each other. I need to get on
so
with that.
So he went on this live stream and he played a track, and it's not on this album. And it's a real...
He's called
it. Loved it, but I didn't even think it's not on this album.
No. Because I think he did it in he did it randomly in someone's booth in one take. So it's not officially recorded in a way. It wouldn't surprise me if he does that properly for the next one.
Yeah.
No, I did see another part of the stream, buddy, where he played it off his phone. So he's recorded the track.
Oh, he has actually. Okay.
Yeah, and then he went in the booth and like rapped it.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's more a bit more like Tantrum, like a real sort of rap, like.
Yeah. It's more trappy, but his delivery is incredible. So if the whole next album is that, although it's going to be a bit trap style, whatever, but lyrically, brilliant. Just, you can't hate on it. You just can't.
Definitely.
Have you not heard it?
I think that's the big takeaway. No, you were the new song. I thought you meant this album. No, on the new, I haven't heard this new one yet. But wait, like you, I might try and go cold turkey till the album drops now.
It's going to blow your mind. If you hear that now, just...
I'm going to have to watch it now. Damn it.
Definitely will. You've got too many months to wait. Just listen to it now.
Yeah, I know.
Well, yeah, I might wrap this podcast up. Like,
cool.
When we started this podcast, what, maybe like, I don't know, there might have been like a few thousand podcasts in the world.
Yeah.
And then we're doing this episode and there's probably like 10 million podcasts now. And Will promotes this album by going on podcasts now. So.
We'll get him on this podcast for the next album. Yeah.
Yeah. You can fix that at the shows. You go to the show.
Yeah, I will. I'll be like, hey, well.
If he comes on the podcast, I'm not drinking the night before.
I'll have 20 bottles lined up.
All right, catch everybody. We'll have to do another podcast on the second album.
That was fun
stuff. Take care.
I'm sweating.